Welcome, John.
Thanks. So, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. I remember when I was when I came up with that title, somebody was like, "I feel convicted already." I was like, "Wait, what? I haven't even gotten into the sermon yet." But before we start, I just want to enter in a time of prayer, and I got some water too. So if you guys don't mind, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your presence in our lives and for everything that you are to us, our Savior, our King, our God. You are more than enough. And God, as I share a little bit about what you've been teaching me today, I just pray that it would be your words that come out and not mine. And I just ask your blessing on everyone here in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like John said, my name is John, and I grew up here. I've lived in Blaine almost my entire life, and I'm just going to share a little bit about myself so you guys can know where I'm coming from. I grew up here. I grew up in a Christian family, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior when I was about 5 years old. And when I was five, I didn't completely understand what it meant, but I had a kind of an idea, and I was interested in Jesus, so I pursued that a little bit, but there were a lot of other things that I got interested in. And it wasn't necessarily bad things. One of the things that I got interested in, and I am still interested in, is biking. How many people here, can I see your hands? I mean, it's kind of weird, but how many people like biking? A couple? Okay, for you haters out there, I'm sorry, but that's what I'm talking about right now. So biking. And I remember when I was 10 years old, I went outside, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, and in my family, there's six people, right? And so we have six bikes. And on one end of the spectrum of bikes, you have the bike that nobody wants to ride. You've got this bike that it's got squeaky brakes, it's got squeaky, everything about it is just horrible, and it's just a... It's just obnoxious, you know? You never want to ride that. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the amazing bike, the one that everyone wants to ride, and you're kind of like fighting over it with your brothers. Well, for me and my family, I had that bike. I had the bike that nobody wanted to ride, right? And I just abhorred that thing. And if you can imagine a little bit about my pain, I hope you can, but if not, I'm sorry. But one day, I remember I stepped outside, and I went into the garage, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and it was nice and sunny. I decided to go for a bike ride, right? And as I look over, I see my bike. That kind of, I don't know. Have you ever had that feeling inside? I was like, oh, that's gross. I don't want to go on that thing. And then my brother's bike, I just looked over, and I saw it. And he worked at a bike shop. And for those of you who don't know, a bike shop, you can get, like, everything you want for cheap, right, Jordan? You know. But he had a fantastic bike, and I love this bike. It had amazing brakes, it had amazing gears, everything about it worked perfectly. And the thing that I loved most about this bike was that it had a speedometer. And as a 13-year-old boy, I don't know if you guys have experienced the excitement of a speedometer, but it can do a lot of things. It can tell you your average speed, it can tell you how far you've gone, it can tell you how long you've been going, and the most important thing for me was how fast could I go, right? How fast can I go on this bike? So I remember looking at my bike and saying, I'm going this way. So I grabbed onto my brother's bike, and I sped out of the garage and went onto the street, and I'm kind of messing with it, and I'm looking down, and I'm looking back up, and looking down, and not totally paying attention to where I was going, but I had an idea. And then I come to it. I decide I'm going to see how fast I can go. And so with my eyes glued to the speedometer, I start to pedal, right? I got my handlebars, I'm good grip, and I'm just going, and I'm going, and I'm going. And I see the speedometer go 13 miles per hour, 15 miles per hour, 17 miles per hour, 19.7 miles per hour. And in that moment, something happened that I just did not expect. You see, with my eyes glued to the speedometer, I had no clue where I was going. And something happened that just is phenomenal. You see, I didn't hit a mailbox. I didn't hit a car. What did I hit? A boat. Of all things, I hit a boat, right? It's ridiculous, right? And I blacked out instantly. So I only know this from secondhand experience or, you know, people. But the person who owned that boat was going on vacation with his wife, and he pulled out onto the street, and like typical people, he forgot something, of course. And so he runs inside to go grab the thing, and then as he's stepping outside, he sees this freak 13-year-old boy flying into the back of his boat, and bam, there was an accident, right? And so as I'm waking up on this ground, I find out that my knee didn't just hit the boat. It hit the propeller of the boat. And my face hit the climbing bar of the boat. And in that moment, my knee cracked in the shape of a cross and shattered the entire bottom, and my teeth went through my front lip. You see, I have the scars to show it. And if you guys want to see them, I'll show them to you if you want. But you might not. I don't want you guys to get too gross out. But the reason that I tell you guys that story, the reason that I want to share with you about that, is that I think our spiritual lives are a lot like that. You see, a lot of us are on bikes, but we might not know it. And we're sitting there, and we're going somewhere. And we're looking down at our speedometer, whatever it is, and we're not really paying attention to where we're going. And you see, in my life, I didn't just get interested in bikes at that time. I didn't just get interested in Jesus at that time. I fell into something much worse. I fell into pornography and the addiction that that caused. And I didn't understand the weight of it. I didn't understand that it was so addictive. And in that first year, I didn't know what was going on. And after a year went by, I was like, I gotta get rid of this. I gotta stop. It's not worth it. And I was just living in a moment in that adrenaline rush and doing what I thought made me feel good. And a year went by, and another year went by, and another year went by, and I couldn't shake this. And so I'm sitting in my spiritual life. I'm interested in Jesus, but I have this other thing that's holding me back. And for a lot of us, I feel, at least in my life, a lot of us have something that's holding us back from experiencing everything that God's calling us to. A lot of us are comfortable where we're at. And we don't really want to step out for our faith. We don't want to do anything to overcome that addiction, that pain, that relationship that we're at. And so I don't know where you guys are at. I know some of you, but I'm not sure where you're at. And maybe for you guys, it's holding, you know, it's a job, and you just want to get to the top promotion, and you just want to be the best at your job and get the most money. Or maybe it's about a relationship, something where you can have the best marriage or the best girlfriend, boyfriend, wherever you're at, it's holding you back, but you're comfortable where you're at. And if there's one thing that I want you guys to know that I've learned in my life, is that God is not calling us to be comfortable. He's calling us to be courageous. And in our lives, God is not calling us to be comfortable. He wants us to be courageous. Whatever it is where you step out of that comfort zone and you move into a courageous faith in Jesus. And so I remember when I was 13 years old, and I've been struggling with this, and I wanted to take my faith to the next level. I wanted to experience more of God, but I just didn't know how. And I remember just in my room, I just sat down. No one was around. And I just sat down on the ground, and I was like, God, save me from this, because I can't stop, because I can't get away from this, because I want more of you. And in that moment, I just told God, I said, God, if you don't show me your real now, you're not going to be my God anymore, and I'm going to make pornography my God. And in that moment, I just sat there quietly, and I waited, no one around in my room. And I experienced something that I can't explain to you. And I wish I could, because it was the most amazing experience in my life. You see, in that moment, all of that lust, that loneliness, that sin, that emptiness just drained out of me in one instant, just in a moment. And God came, and he was in that place. And I felt his presence in my life like I've never experienced before. Not at a concert, not at a whatever it is, not at church, nothing. It was nothing like that. But that peace, that joy, that purpose, that God was there, was something so incredible in my life. And I want that for all of us to experience that. And so I don't know where you guys are at, where you're comfortable in your faith, and where God is calling you to step out and be courageous. You see, so many times we don't do what it takes to be radical in our faith. So many times we look around us and all the Christians are acting just like us. But they're not really acting any different from the world. And that's why my challenge today is how are we different from the world? And you see, I think God has a plan for us to experience his presence. You see, I believe that there's a cycle of growth in our lives as Christians. And it has three different parts. It's we come and see who Jesus is. We get into a community with him. And we get into the cause of Christ. If you guys could repeat that with me, let's just try this. Come and see. Come on. Come and see. Everybody, come and see. Community. Cause. Right. And this cycle is so important for us to grow in our walk with God. And it's all over in the Bible. And if you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to open to John chapter 1, verse 44 through 46, I believe it is. And in that passage, there's a story about two men. And the first one is Philip, and the other is Nathanael. And in this story, Philip has been over here. He's seen Jesus, and he's talked to him, and he's met with him. And he's just so excited about it, and he's like, wow, this is it. And so he goes back to his friend Nathanael, and he's like, Nathanael, I found the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And Philip says, what good can come out of Nazareth? And Philip replied to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see. And that's what God's calling us to do, is to come and see him, to be saved by him. And Jesus wants to save you if you don't know him. You see, Jesus died on the cross for you. And he died so that you wouldn't have to pay for the sin that you have and that I have. And he's our Savior, and he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. And he rose again on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. And so Jesus wants us to come and see him and be saved by him. And then once you've seen who Jesus is, you can't help but get plugged into a community of Jesus followers. You see, the disciples, they didn't spend a day with Jesus. They didn't spend 3 days. They didn't spend a week conference. They spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And that's what God's calling us to, is to be in a community where we are seeking him. And so when we've come and seen him and been saved by him, we get into a community and we start seeking him. And then when we sought out Jesus and we're growing in our faith with Jesus, we begin to commit to his cause, to commit to what he's called us to. You see, in Matthew 28, verse 20 and 19, Jesus gives his final commandment. Does anyone know what that is? It's the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we are in that community and we've been seeking Jesus, we commit to that cause and we start serving Jesus. And in my life, I wish I could tell you guys that at that moment when I was 13, I just gave it all up. And I was like, Jesus, I'm all for you, you know. I'm giving up my video games, I'm giving up, you know. But no, I wasn't. It took me 3 years to understand this. It took me 3 more years to realize that God had called me to start growing, that God had called me into a courageous faith and not a comfortable faith. And I think that's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants us to stop being comfortable. He wants us to start being courageous and start growing in this cycle where we are seeing Jesus, where we're getting into community with other believers, and when we're serving him. And when I was 16 years old, I began to experience that. And I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. You see, I started to help with this group, and it changed my life because I started seeking Jesus. I may have seen Jesus, I may have been saved by Jesus when I was 5, but I didn't really have a community of believers that I was seeking him with. And a lot of them, they were more concerned about what the latest video game was, the latest movie, the latest music, whatever it was. They weren't concerned about the Bible. They weren't concerned about drawing closer to Jesus. And so in my life, when I was 16, God called me to step out and stop being comfortable and start being courageous in my faith. And I began to share my faith, and I began to serve Jesus. And my challenge for you guys today, the thing that I want us to all think about, is where are we stopping short? Where are we stopping short? Are you stopping short in seeing Jesus? Have you yet been saved by him? And if you haven't been saved by Jesus, I just want to challenge you guys. It can change your life. It will give you purpose beyond anything this world can offer. And I've pursued a lot of different things, and there's nothing like God. And if it's community, what are your friends helping you to do? What are your peers or your associates at work or whoever's around you, are they drawing you into a deeper relationship with God? And we are called to be around non-Christians and to share our faith when we commit to the cause, but if you don't have that solid community of believers that you're seeking Jesus with, you're going to fail when you try to share him. And that's what it's all about when you commit to the cause. And if you're stopping short, if you have that community and you're having 10 Bible studies a week and you're meeting for 5 hours to pray, but you're not sharing your faith, and you're not sharing your love for God, what good is it? Because you're not impacting this world. And what I've learned is if we're not growing in our faith, we're dying in our faith. If we're comfortable with where we're at, we'll never be courageous with where God wants us to be. God is not calling us to be comfortable. He's calling us to be courageous. And I just want to share this last point. And it's a verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And it says this. Let me pull it up really fast here. But it's Paul speaking in the book of Philippians, and it's a very powerful verse about what he says. And so I'll read it to you right now. It says, "For me to live is my job, and to die, I get more money." No, wait, hold on, I read that wrong. No, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How many of us, and I mean, even for me personally, how many of us can honestly say that? That right now, everything I'm doing, everything, whether I'm cleaning the bathroom, whether I'm driving to work, whether I'm doing something crappy that you don't want to do, is it for Jesus? Is it for Him? And I think that we don't really live that way. And I wish we could, that we could say, "For me to die is gain." So many of us are afraid of death. So many of us are afraid of what might come. And God isn't calling us to stay there. He's not calling us to be comfortable with where we're at. He wants us to step out and be courageous. So my challenge for you guys today, where can you start being courageous and stop being comfortable? Jesus, I just thank you so much for everything you've done in my life. I just pray that we would all grow closer to you and that I would personally begin to apply this more to my own life, that I would stop living for anything but you, that I would count everything a loss for you, and that dying would be gain for me. And Lord, as we just consider this time, I just pray that you would be with everyone who needs to hear this, whether they're stopping short and they're seeing you and they need to recommit their life to you, or whether they're stopping short in community and their friends, they're just not living for you and they're not helping you get closer in a relationship with you, or if they just haven't really stepped out and ever shared their faith. And God, I pray that for every single one of these people, that they would see your call to not be comfortable, but to be courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.